Okay, so one thing I just want to kind of start off with as kind of a little bit of level setting. We, I mean the staff and the Climate and Environment Commission are in the process of evaluating the timing of our annual report, which you all saw earlier this year, as well as the budget priorities that are in a part of that annual report that come from the CEC. And the emissions inventories report. Last time you saw the annual report, we didn't have the benefit of the annual report, which reports on actions. We didn't have the benefit of the same time period for an emissions inventory. So it was the previous year's emissions inventory and talking about the current year's actions. So we're going to we're evaluating ways to make all the reports more useful so that they're covering the same time period. Also with some of potential changes to the budget process, moving the budget recommendations from CEC to a different time might also be helpful for general understanding. This report has two emissions inventories in it. One is the community emissions inventory. And the other is the municipal inventory. We use our greenhouse gas emissions inventory as a very broad brush, high level evaluation of the progress towards our goals as far as the climate action adaptation plan. We inventory the three major greenhouse gases and we normalize them all three to the global warming potential for carbon dioxide. So there's a definition section that hopefully can clarify that if you have further questions, but we're not just measuring carbon dioxide, we're also measuring methane and nitrous oxide in addition to carbon dioxide. So the boundary for this community emissions inventory is the city limits of the city of Columbia. I'm gonna backtrack a little bit, sorry. Important to know is that we've got two different scopes in emissions. Scope one accounts for all activities that are within the city boundary. And then scope two are emissions like from emissions due to electric power produced in Sykeston, say, but used in the city of Columbia. So that's scope two emissions. So we're accounting for local emissions, then also emissions due to local activities. All right. So starting from the bottom of this diagram, you can see the three energy categories, industrial, residential, and commercial. That accounts for 73% of all of our community emissions. 12% is in industrial energy, 25% residential, and 35% commercial. Those categories are based on the utilities providing the electricity. So we ask for their, what's your residential usage, what's your commercial usage, and so on. All of the University of Missouri's emissions are in the commercial energy category. The next layer up is transportation. That accounts for 26% of our community emissions. That's mostly due to passenger vehicles, emissions from passenger vehicles. We have more emissions from gas vehicle trips, gas-powered vehicle trips, than diesel-powered vehicle trips. So more emissions, more trips, both. Because of a new data set that we've been able to use, we have a little more insight into non-motorized transportation, so walking and cycling. And we did see in this inventory period from 2020 to 2021 an increase in cycling and in walking. Final category in the community greenhouse gas emissions is waste, which accounts for emissions from the landfill as well as emissions from the wastewater treatment plant. And that's at about a 4-to-1 ratio of landfill to wastewater treatment plant. It's the smallest category, but kind of about 2% of our emissions. So in this, I just wanted to start off by saying there's a slight error in the graphic. You may have noticed if you read the text below, but this says a reduction of 10.4 from 2015 to 2020. That's actually 10.8, and the text is what we intended to have displayed in this, which is an increase of 10.4% from 2020 to 2021. So we'll be fixing that. It's one of those things where no matter how many times you look over something, there's something that shows up. But the text is correct below that. Okay, so you can see here that we had an overall emissions decrease from 2015 of 1.5% from 2015 to 2021. Overall emissions increase is seen in industrial energy, residential energy, and natural gas fugitive emissions, which really just accounts for that natural gas that escapes the transportation pipeline. So the next slide that I wanted to get into, or the next part I wanted to get into, was how we can see what explains some of the increases in emissions. So if we just look at fluctuations from one year to the next, we don't necessarily get all that much insight from just changes in numbers. So what we've been using is a contribution analysis tool. This was developed in partnership with the Department of Energy, Urban Sustainability Directors Network, and ICLEI, which is the global body for developing these standard emissions protocols. From that contribution analysis, we start to get more insight into what affects economic activity, population change, weather change, and even the impact of our local programs might have on our emissions from year to year. So in 2020, the big story for 2021 is that we saw a dramatic increase from 2020 that's largely due to transportation emissions increasing. That was something that we expected as we saw major kind of society-wide shifts in how transportation happened and how much it happened, vehicle transportation anyway. So in 2020, we saw a reduction across cross-boundary trips, so vehicles driving through Colombia, and also vehicles driving within Colombia. In 2021, it's a little bit of a different story. We did see increase in gas and diesel, kind of a rebound of gas and diesel cross-boundary trips, but really only saw a rebound in gas in-boundary trips. So the diesel in-boundary trips stayed at least a little bit lower. I think it's also important to note that we did see an overall decrease in transportation emissions from 2019 to 2021. So pre-pandemic 2019 levels were higher in transportation than they were in 2021. One other thing I'll add to the transportation picture is that the model that we use to develop our trend lines for decreasing emissions in all the different sectors, our current, so 2021 emissions number for transportation is lower than our modeled emissions for 2021. So we are we're below the trend line for transportation. Let's see here. Next, I wanted to talk about the energy emissions. So in both, therms, that's for natural gas. And for on the residential side, we saw an increase in residential natural gas use that takes out the impact of weather. It's normalized for weather. So a colder winter, which actually we had a milder winter, the system that we're using would control for that. So even with the impact of weather, we saw an increase per household in natural gas use. On the commercial side, we also saw an increase in natural gas use and electricity use on a per-job basis. So this analysis controls for changes in total number of jobs within Columbia, and even with that, for all the, essentially when I think of it as FTEs, in Columbia, we saw an increase in energy use per employment. Let's see here, what else did I want to say? So growth in population also accounted for about a 4% increase in emissions. That's after controlling for weather and other factors. So just due to the fact that we had more more people in Columbia. So the contribution analysis tool that we're using does not include industrial. It was developed only to look at residential and commercial energy use sectors. So we don't have as much insight into industrial as far as what might have been driving the increase in industrial energy. But we do know, just from the records, that there was that overwhelmingly the increase in emissions came from increased electricity use. Interestingly, it was mostly due, there was a disproportionate impact seen in an increase in Boone Electric industrial electricity use. So we need to do a little bit more investigation to the extent that we can and see where we might be able to find out some reasons why or where and how we might be able to affect that industrial increase. So emissions are determined by two things. It's a combination of a level of activity, that's pounds of waste disposed or vehicle miles traveled, and then the emissions impact of that activity. Right, so we've got activity, and then we have what we call emissions factors. So the emissions per mile of vehicle travel or per pounds of waste disposed. That's what I was talking about previously with the contribution analysis. What changes in activity contributed to emissions changes. This slide is focused on energy. This image right here is focused on energy. It's the most significant sector for emissions. Right now, most of the energy that we use in Columbia is electrical energy. And as you can see, it's also the most emissions intense. We standardized electrical energy and natural gas energy, so we're talking about apples and apples. And for one unit of energy provided by the City of Columbia Electric Utility, there's 0.25 metric tons of carbon dioxide emitted. And then the same unit of energy, that's a little bit less for Boone Electric, significantly less for Ameren Natural Gas, and again, a little bit less for the MU power plant. So just as a way to understand kind of the variable impact of the energy that we use and also where we get that energy from. So we're in the process of identifying and recognizing some of the community partners in our commercial and industrial sectors who are already tracking and acting on equitable and climate positive trends in their organization. And we're going to continue to work with the Division of Utility Services to maximize and understand better the climate impacts of their programs. It's an especially good time now as they are moving towards redeveloping certain programs that they provide to the community. So I'm really looking forward to that partnership moving forward. And I think, at least as far as I'm aware, it'll be the first time that we've really taken a double approach with looking at the climate impacts of programming and trying to find ways to maximize those climate positive impacts. So the big story here in conjunction with this is the City of Columbia Electric Utility provides the most electricity and the most energy to our community. And they have since 2015, and obviously well before that, but for the purpose of the emissions inventory. since 2015. From this image, you can also see that energy is also the most emissions intense, so it has the highest, what we call emissions factor. Also, the emissions factor is relatively unchanged since the baseline year of 2015. So it's been at about the same emissions intensity per unit of energy. Not really all that big of a news, but sourcing electricity from an increasing percentage of renewable energy is fundamental to reducing this number right here, the emissions factor, and then that also can dramatically reduce the emissions for our community and help us achieve our community emissions reduction goals. So those were my kind of high-level comments about the community inventory that I wanted to highlight with you all. In the interest of time, I think it might be best to go through just a few remarks about the municipal inventory and then open up for both.
Okay.
Questions on both.
Yep.
So we have an overall different picture for our municipal emissions. And as to set the level here, this is looking at emissions from our activity as an organization. So what we tried to do was to separate out our day-to-day impacts. This does not include emissions from the Columbia Energy Center or the municipal power plant, except for that fraction of the energy that we use in this building that, you know, based on that we actually get from energy from those facilities. And Dave can tell you all the reasons why what I just said is not quite true, but from an accounting perspective, we do account for this small percentage of energy that the City of Columbia activities account for. Much like the community inventory, energy is the largest sector, about 78%. We've seen a consistent overall trend of reduction. And last year, in the energy sector, we had a reduction of about 12% in natural gas usage and emissions. Our electricity usage was about the same as the year before. In transportation, we saw a 19%, it's 19% of our total, and we had a reduction of about 14% over 2020. Most of that reduction came from our vehicle fleet, so not transit and not our employee commute, but the vehicle fleet, so all the trucks that Water and Light uses and neighborhood services and everywhere else. Waste and wastewater, we don't have a very sophisticated way to really meter how much waste and wastewater we generate as an organization. So we made some assumptions, and we're working on ways to refine that. But those are refreshed in every about 3 years. So they've been fairly flat across both waste and wastewater. Those are a small fraction of our municipal emissions. Let's see here, just a little bit for context. Municipal emissions are about 2.2% of our total community emissions. So we have a mirror as far as the ratios, but the overall impact of our municipal day-to-day activities is limited to that small portion of our emissions, of the community emissions. So this year's emissions inventory is an example of kind of the uncomfortable face of accountability, certainly as far as we look at the community emissions. I believe we have a good plan. It was developed with community input, it's focused on the important sectors of renewable energy, building energy efficiency, and transportation. So we've got active conversations in all of those areas. I really believe that we need to remain diligent in moving those important conversations forward into action. So that's goes along with my commitment for our office to reflect more our successful municipal lessons, reflect those into the community as we're trying to build more communication and find examples within the commercial and industrial sectors where we have seen certainly a large part of the increases over the last several years. With that, open up for, well, let me just make one more comment just to clarify why the slides that I sent you, I did not cover here. They're a condensed version of what we're calling our CAP Foundation series. And we've been able to present this to a few staff groups and as we've been refining it. We are also planning to add an important piece about local and our more recent climate changes. Carolyn Amprand from the Climate Environment Commission has been working with a professor at MU to develop this piece, and I wanted to provide at least that condensed version for you all to use as a reference. I thought we might be able to get into some of it this evening, but maybe not. So I'll just extend the invitation that hopefully we can present three roughly 15-minute sessions to you all as kind of our CAP foundations to provide everyone with hopefully a better or refreshed understanding of what the Climate Action Adaptation Plan is, how we got to where we are, and where we hope to take it moving forward. So that's why you got those CAP foundation slides. I guess I'll open it up for questions if you have any.
Yeah, thank you. So, Eric, quick question. You mentioned at the very beginning about the timing. So, I obviously know that greenhouse gas emissions inventory, you can't do last year's until you have all of the data in, which sometimes doesn't happen until closer to now, or is there the potential that something magic is happening and you can get it earlier?
No, this is still about the right time so that we can do a full analysis and chase down those last little bits of data.
Okay, so you're thinking that then the CEC annual report or the CAP annual report might move to a different time so that they're aligned?
Right. So one of the thoughts is that we can move the annual report to be presented with the emissions inventory so that it's a little bit more of a side-by-side comparison than talking about last year and having to remember it's almost as bad as fiscal year sometimes.
So I have two questions. The first is, you mentioned that natural gas, and I think you called it fugitive emissions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, so I'm asking specifically in terms of our COMO transit fleet, because we have fewer diesel buses and more compressed natural gas buses. Is that correct? Because when you said that diesel's down but natural gas is up, is that a reflection of the shift in the type of vehicle we're running on the roads?
That was community.
That was community, and if I said natural gas, I misspoke. That's just gasoline.
Fuel.
Yeah, sorry.
Fuel-powered vehicles and their emissions. Okay.
Yeah, gasoline and diesel is what that's the insight that we have for the community transportation emissions, yeah.
Okay. So when we're thinking about, we're approaching the budget season, and we're thinking about, will I know as we go through the budget, will I see expenditures that are designed to meet our climate action goals? Or, because it feels like we're on a parallel path, they're related, but we're not letting them introduce themselves to each other. That's what I'm concerned about. Will we see clearly in the budget process that the reason why we've got this in the budget is because it's going to move us along on our climate action goals?
Good question. That's our ultimate goal. I'm not sure if we'll be able to get that into this current budget process, but that's where we want to get to, is where we can show our climate action goals, our equity goals, our strategic plan goals into the budget process, so you can see exactly the funds that are being spent that shows a correlation on the activity.
So, and then there's a second part to that question, and that has to do with our coal contracts. Are we at a place where we've asked you all to look at our coal contracts in order to, because you said the way to get there is more renewable energy sources. Are we at a place where we're looking at our coal contracts because it has the potential for us to improve or increase our renewable energy uses? So is that something that I should bring up at the end of council and ask for a review of those, even if the answer is no, we can't do it because they're life of plant and it's interconnected with other municipalities?
Yeah, so
but the public's asking us to do that. And I'm sorry if I wasn't aware whether we'd asked that previously or not.
Not that I'm aware of.
And I think, so to that point, I know that we have, you know, we kind of left the IERMP report kind of at the end of a work session, quickly went into another thing. And so I know that staff is planning on coming back with kind of an update to that. So I had a similar question to that, as well as the demand side management programs that you talked about working in alignment and wondering when we're going to see, is that come back to council? Is that just a staff thing? What's the timeline on when we could see those sort of things, like incentives for electric vehicle charging, incentives for, you know, energy efficiency improvements, those sort of stuff?
Do I need to make a formal ask, though, for a review of those contracts at the end of council tonight?
And get a consensus from council for the direction, yes.
Okay, I'll put that on my, I have a new way of keeping track of things we put a pin in now, Barbara.
I like it.
I have a little
you have
card
a literal
system.
Pin and post-it notes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's on a ring. I'm not going to lose them.
Okay. Other questions, and then I know we're coming up time, so we'll probably also maybe send either come up at the end of council meeting any questions or follow up, or send them to you, to Carlin.
Oh, certainly.
Other questions for Eric? I'm going to have some because I have a couple of minutes. I'm going to say I'd be interested in some of those plans. Like, you know, obviously some of these are going to be just like the municipal operations piece. It doesn't have to come to us to know that you all are doing a remote work policy to encourage staff to, you know, because when we had a 10.8% drop because people weren't driving to, I mean, I know that's not just city staff, but I think looking at those sort of things to know what are you doing to lead by example in a city organization. I'm also very interested in doing, when we're talking about for the municipal inventory, how can we encourage the review for where can we have on-site renewable energy generation? There are so many grants out there right now or funding, like they're coming up that could maybe be used for offsetting our own use. And whether or not that's a policy, that it's like, how can, because City of Kansas City, for their own operations, are going 100% clean energy, you know, before their community can. So, like, what can we do that is encouraging energy efficiency in our facilities, but also on-site generation, so that we're not using taxpayer dollars for inefficient buildings? So that's just something that I had on there. And then my other one was, when you talked about the transportation, you know, any ideas you have that we can help for the education and outreach for people to do, like, you know, one day not drive day, you know what I mean? Like sort of things where we can see that just because we saw such a decrease in transportation emissions, I think we should be doing all we can to encourage people to think about alternatives. Those are my big ones. You guys can also tell me I'm crazy, but you actually can't because it would be really weird afterwards. Is that it? Okay, I'm going to end our pre-council and we're going to go in there for another meeting in 4 minutes.